on Solomon dedicating the temple. He just prayed. He's standing. He's standing on a scaffolding high to where people can see him. He didn't have a microphone, amen, and he's inside of the people. And the Bible said here in verse number 55 and 1 Kings 8, he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised, there not fail one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Now, God's always got a reason, amen, for why he does what he does. Here it is. Look down at verse number 60. Here's why God was faithful to Moses and Solomon, reminding them that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God. And there is none else. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the eternal purpose of God. Paul said, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? God knows the end from the beginning. Amen. He's declared it. Amen. He knows just how exactly it's going to end. So he's got a purpose. Listen, friend, the Bible says, and we see as you read the Bible, how that God had a plan. In fact, the writer of Acts, he wrote in 2:23, he may be a quoting, but he said, "By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Amen. So God, nothing takes him by accident. As you read your Bible, you realize God had a plan from the very beginning, all the way back in the book of Genesis. Amen. We can see the Bible and see a panoramic view of God's plan, how that God would provide, amen, a people called Israel. You know, before they were called Israel, they were just a nation. In fact, in Deuteronomy 26, that Assyrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became a great, mighty populace. God had a purpose with that little people called Israel. In fact, the Bible said in Isaiah 42, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light unto the Gentiles." And so the reason God has blessed that apple of his eye is, my friend, so that the rest of the earth may know, amen, about a great God, amen, that loves them. Paul said the Israelites in Romans 9, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. That book you've got in your hand is, amen, the Bible was written by Jewish authors. In fact, the Savior that y'all sung about tonight came through the lineage of the Jews. Amen. The Bible said, "And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." So God's got a purpose, number one. He's a God of promises, as Solomon reminds them here. And the reason that he's a God of promises is because that all the people of the earth may know. Amen. Listen, he's the eternal purpose of God, or title, that all the people may know. Now, listen, he is a God of promises. In fact, I like that old song that it might not be in that red church hymnal, but it's in one of them. "Great is thy faithfulness." I want it sung at my funeral. I love that song. But you say, why? Because God's been faithful to this preacher. In fact, the song says, "There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Summer, winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars and their courses above. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." Amen. Thank God. I'm glad God got me up this morning. I'm glad that I could get up and, amen, swing along the side of the bed and put my feet on the cold floors. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that God gave me that physical ability. Not only did He give me the physicality, but He gave me the mental, the sanity. Amen. That I know, amen, that I needed to come to church. "Great is thy faithfulness. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided." Now, why is God good and God faithful to us? Acts 14 said, "Nevertheless, He left himself not without witness in that he did good, and he gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, and filling our hearts with food and gladness. Everything out there, the sun, the rain, all that's out there, he does that so that everything will grow, so that we can eat and we can be glad. The Bible said in the book of James, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Put her down. If there's anything good in your life, it came from God. In fact, the Bible said, with whom there is no variableness, he can only give a good gift. Amen? That's all he can give. Neither is there shadow of turning. Why is God good to us? Well, Paul nailed it down when he said, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Amen? Because God wanted you to be saved. Amen? And for you to realize you need to be saved, you need to realize there's a God up in heaven that loves you. Amen? And amen, he's been faithful to you. And if you realize that, amen, you'll respond to the wooing of the Spirit of God. The Bible says the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any perish. That's why he's good to us. Number two, he's not only a God of promises, he's a God of phenomenal intervention or miracles. I'm going to give you just one illustration, amen. There's many that could be said in Isaiah 41 and 17. The Bible said, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I'll open rivers in high places in the midst of the valley. I'll make river a wilderness, amen, a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Why? Two verses later, that they may, number one, see, know, two, three, consider, understand, four, together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it, as so that, amen, we'll realize that who we're dealing with, and that God can supply your every need. We realize in the tribulation there's going to be a great need of water. Already it's going on in the Middle East. Great need. And God is able to perform miracles. Now God can intervene in your life miraculously in two ways. He can do it in the supernatural that is brought on by interference from God, or yet according to nature. But then he can just plain bring a miracle that's brought by God, but not according to nature. Either way, it don't strain God. He can do it either way he wants to, and he ain't going to ask you or nobody else. I've got a daughter. She's an RN. She works in the OR once a week just to keep her nursing license intact. And otherwise, she's working in other areas in computers in the medical field. About a little over a year ago, she was in the OR. They were operating on somebody. And the lady, she had a tumor. And they had done the surgery. And they had opened her up. The team was there. And the surgeon, when they got ready to take the tumor out, evidently this had never happened to him. When he got there and he got ready to take the tumor out, tumor wasn't there. Well, now he didn't know what to do. Evidently this had never happened to him. And he didn't know what to do. And he had him. He said, now y'all saw this. He said, you saw this x-ray before we come in here. He said, and he had her wheel back out. She'd already had the incision, and had another x-ray and brought it back, and the second x-ray confirmed what he didn't see, amen, and what he saw, amen. He said that there wasn't no tumor there. He said, now you saw that first x-ray, and he's showing them. He said, there's no tumor here on the second x-ray. He said, what do I need to do? What should I do? Amen. He didn't know what to do. I feel sorry for doctors, amen. All they've done is learn and went and learned and spent a lifetime of amen, of money trying to learn something. And the only thing they can do is with medicine, amen. But what they don't realize is, amen, God can do what he wants to, and he don't need man to do it, amen. He don't need medicine to do it. He said, what do I do now? My daughter's just standing there. She knew the lady, and I do too. And she said, why? I said, there's a group out there in the waiting room, said, from her church, said, I know her, and said they've been praying. God might have touched her. Woo! Hey, yeah! God might have touched her, amen. And amen, all they did was sewed her up, took and they went out there and talked to that group, And listen, that nurse said, "I want, if ever I have a trouble, any kind of trouble, I want you all praying for me." God is a God of phenomenal intervention. Prayers answered are not just merely unlikely circumstances or coincidences. They are the fingerprints of a loving God. Divine interventions produce divine faith that only God can do. God showed Himself in the Old Testament. And which I'm just going to write quick like with make a mental note. You all know about it. He revealed Himself as a God of miracles and just the diplomats. Amen. I'm going to talk about them just for a minute. God showed Himself through Pharaoh 10 times. They had 10 plagues. And the Bible said Pharaoh hardened his heart. And finally it said that God hardened his heart. Amen. You harden your heart so long when you know what God will do. God will say, "Have it your way." Amen. And He'll help you head your other, the other direction. But God revealed Himself as a God of miracles in the experience and life of Pharaoh. Then you have Nebuchadnezzar at the interpretation of Daniel. As Nebuchadnezzar stood there and he saw that interpretation. And by God's man, he said, "Truth it is, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords." And again with Nebuchadnezzar at the three Hebrew children at the edge of the fiery furnace, he stood there and he said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Amen. And so God revealed Himself as a God of miracles in Nebuchadnezzar's life. You have Belshazzar, whether it's a son or grandson, and there they did. They pitched that party, took the holy things out of the holy temple, and they were pitching a party. And God revealed Himself as a God of judgment in the form of a handwriting on the wall. Amen. Daniel was consulted again, and Daniel said, "This night," amen, "and that very night the enemies came in under the hand of Darius," amen, and again God revealed Himself through Darius, amen, to Darius, and Darius stood there at the den of lions, amen, a little bit later, and he said this and made this confession, he's a heathen king, that the God of Daniel is a living God, steadfast forever, His kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and dominion shall be even to the end. God revealed Himself into the Herods. There was 4 Herods in Jesus' day. You can study. There's 4 different Herods. God revealed Himself through those kings. And then we have Apostle Paul, courtroom situation. Paul's defending himself. Amen. There standing before King Agrippa. King Agrippa makes this confession before Paul. He said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know what? For him to make such a statement and never get saved, I think he probably never got saved, because if he'd have gotten saved to make such a statement, God would have been noted somewhere in the Scripture. He probably never did get saved. I'm going to say this, friend, and quickly add, to be almost persuaded is to be altogether lost. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. You say, "Well, I almost got saved." Hey, there's a time when God spoke to me. There's a time when God convicted me. There's a time when God called me. Amen. Hey, that's good, but that ain't good enough. You've got to walk through the door, amen, when He speaks to you. Sometimes we can't see the face of God, but we can feel the hand of God. And we can feel His heartbeat sometimes. I preached on this morning fellowship. We can know Him. I'm glad, and I know you sing the song. You sing those good songs. Did a great job tonight. Jesus spoke to me. I'm glad when He spoke to me. You can say no to God. You can say no. He could speak to you, and you could say no, and it wouldn't do you any good. I'm glad when He spoke to me. You'll remember. If you do turn Him down, you'll remember when He spoke to you. You say, "Well, how will I know if God ever spoke to me?" You'll know. You'll never forget it. Amen. Hey, I don't have time, but I remember when God spoke to me. I just been married, and I walked in and sat back in the back, and God spoke to me that night or that morning on Sunday morning. I wouldn't get right with God. I'd been married about 6 weeks. I wouldn't get right with God. But I went through a week of not sleeping and under conviction. The next Sunday morning, I found myself sitting in the same pew with the same bride. Amen. Sitting back there. The choir got up and started singing, "I'll meet you in the morning." You can just take so much, amen. You got to move. You got to do something, amen. I didn't wait on the preacher to preach. I didn't wait on invitation time, amen. While the choir was singing, I was making my way toward that altar, amen. And I slid in, amen, and got saved. He's a God of providential foreknowledge. Listen, you can read Isaiah 44 through 48 and see the character and attributes of God given. One of those attributes is He has providential foreknowledge. The Bible says that all the nations be gathered together. Let them be assembled. He calls them out on the carpet, front and center. He said, who among them, talking about anybody, can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses. Ain't nobody. Amen. There's those who say they do know. The Gene Dixons, amen, that say they can tell. I remember years ago when she made that prophecy up in Hickory, North Carolina, 40 miles from our house. They had just built a mall. She said that thing was going to fall, Valley Hills Mall. I walked in that mall and it felt like it was going to fall, but it's still there. That was back in the 70s. She don't know the future. She may hit one every once in a while, but to be a true prophet, you got to hit it every time, amen? And in the Old Testament, if you miss one of them, you got stoned. Remembering the former things of old, declaring the end from the beginning. Now, why does God do that? Why does He tell the end from the beginning? Here's why. That you may know, Isaiah 43:10, and believe and understand that I'm He, and before me there was no God formed. God is revealing Himself that He's the only God. Amen. These are what we call the incommunicable attributes. Those we don't get. Nobody gets. There's things that we have that are communicable. We have love, mercy, peace, love, long-suffering, meekness, and all of that. That came from God. Just because you love, don't feel too good about it, amen. It didn't come from you. God gave it to you when you got saved. That's a communicable attribute born of God when you got saved by the grace of God. But there's some of them you don't get, and that's one of them. You can't tell the future. And He does that so that you may know. Number four, He's the God of the promised seed. In the person of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, God demonstrates the same characteristics and attributes that He possessed and demonstrated in the Old Testament. Amen. I mean, already He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed, her seed. He'll bruise thy head, thou'll bruise his heel. In Genesis 3:15, and from that time on, Satan waged the war, tried to destroy the seed of the kings. Amen. Because he knew he'd come through that lineage. And amen, he shows up in the New Testament. Amen, Satan, he was not able to perform that. Amen. Jesus came, He came forth. And somebody wrote, said, all is by the Father, all is by the Son. Did the Father create the universe? So did the Son. Did He uphold the universe? So did the Son. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. You say, who is He? He's God in the New Testament. And was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Is the Father the Savior of the world? So is the Son. There's no restraint, no constraint between them. He, Christ, is able to apprehend and comprehend all because He is God. Yes, sir. Can He exercise the same attributes? Sure He can. The Bible said He came for witness to bear witness of that light, that all men, through Him, might believe. Now, it was speaking of John the Baptist, but I believe right there, speaking of Jesus, the antecedent, I believe it was Jesus. And He said, He came, and He was a light that all men might believe through Him. Was He able to show those same attributes of the Old Testament Jehovah? Yeah, He could tell the future, couldn't He? Lazarus died. He had been dead for 4 days. Jesus tarried. I believe why Jesus tarried and didn't go right on right quick like is He wanted the whole community to know about Lazarus being dead and gave him time for the thing to get around. That he is dead, been declared dead for 4 days. And then Jesus showed up. He's standing outside the tomb of Lazarus. Amen. And then He starts praying and He says, Lord, He says, Father, I thank Thee that hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, amen, that they may believe Thou hast sent me, and amen, He said, Lazarus, come forth, amen, and amen, it's a good thing He said Lazarus. If He hadn't said Lazarus, the whole everybody from that time backward, amen, and I got up, amen, out of the grave, amen, and Lazarus got up. Could he tell the future? Could he tell the end? Jesus said, now I'll tell you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you may believe. John 13. John 14, now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Listen, last of all, he's the God of proclamation, that you might believe. Now, I don't know if I've told you this, but I'm going to tell you this and I'll close. The Bible says, and this is a condensed version of the public life of Jesus Christ, in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. That's the life of Jesus. I like that, amen. John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. Tells the plight of man, tells him how man can be saved, how he needs to be saved, and how he can go to heaven. You got 1 Timothy 3:16, and it tells the whole consummation, amen, of the life of Christ right there. And that one, and speaking about him being God. And he's the God of proclamation. Years ago, I was a pastor in Marion, in the will of God. I don't know if I've told this here. Don't know what I preached last time. I try to notate it so I won't preach it again when I come the next time. But I went to bed that night in the will of God, pastoring the church. And during the night, God spoke to me to go to Bolivia, South America. And the next morning, I got up and Bolivia was on my mind. I didn't know where Bolivia was. I had no idea. It could have been Timbuktu, Kalamazoo. Didn't matter. That's where God wanted me. And it wasn't because I didn't know where, I wasn't a good student in school. I'd studied. I'm a bookworm. I'd clean books out in the library. I'm a bookworm. And I was a pretty good student. I was taking preparatory courses to go to a university, NC State, be a mechanical engineer. I'd remembered reading about Venezuela and Ecuador. I'd remember reading about Argentina. But I had never studied about Bolivia. I had no where Bolivia was. God put it on my heart during the night, and I didn't know where it was. And so for a couple of weeks, I just let it ride. God don't let up. He calls you to do something. You may as well just get with it, amen. He ain't going to change his mind. Best thing for you to do is go ahead and get with it and do it. And it was in radio broadcasts. It was in newspaper articles. It was finally after frustration of 2 weeks, I said, well, where? I asked somebody, I said, where is Bolivia? It was in South America. It is in South America. And I started praying, God, and he showed me 2 years of praying. My kids was on up in age, and I knew it was going to be tough. And I knew that's what he wanted me to do, and I did. I struck out. Resigned my church, went out on deputation. Now listen, what I didn't know, and if God's ever speaking to you to do something, he's not only working in your end, he's working on the other end too. Peter, Cornelius. Amen. A good man prayed all the way. Amen. He was seeking God. God knew it. Amen. And God spoke to that preacher on the rooftop that's up there meditating. Amen. And told Peter to go down there and preach to Cornelius. Amen. God was dealing on both sides. Amen. If God's in your tater patch and God's speaking to you and God's dealing with you to do something. Amen. He's already on the other side. I struck out on deputation. Went to South America inside a month. 6 weeks was standing outside this little work as the car pulled up. It's what I didn't know. Let me go back. There's a lady, a young girl in Bolivia. When she was about 8 years old, got saved, started going to a Baptist church in a place called Cochabamba, Bolivia. She started going, and as a Baptist church, that's a miracle because there's 98% Catholic. Not many Baptist churches down there. But she started going, and she knew enough to know that later on when she got married, she'd moved off, got married, and they were growing up, they had grown up, and she come under burden for her kids that they'd get saved, and she knew that somebody'd have to preach the gospel to them. She said, she started praying, Lord, send somebody to preach the gospel to my kids. I'm standing out there, in walks this family, they sat on the back, the preacher preached. And the first time that one of those daughters ever heard the gospel, she got saved. She responded that morning. First time ever heard the gospel. I wish I'd have got saved the first time I heard the gospel. And it saved myself a lot of trouble. Another daughter got saved. Son got saved. Another son got saved. Her husband got saved a little bit later. One of them sons is my son-in-law tonight.
What about that?
He's a preacher. God called him to preach. Went to Bible school. Now they're over in Knoxville, Tennessee, Lenore City. Got a church. They run about 200. It's a Hispanic church. They're reaching them, amen, going out and getting them. Hey, I'm glad that I did what God told me to do. I did it when He wanted me to do it. Don't go 20 years, amen. When God puts His finger on your heart to do something, the best thing to do is go ahead and say yes and get with it, amen. I'm glad I said yes to Jesus, amen. 25 years ago, been out on the deputation and the missionary trail, amen. Hey, God's going to bless you on the count of saying yes to Him, amen. Any of y'all ever heard of Margaret Stringer? I heard David Gibbs tell about her. She was 24. She's a white girl. She's going to Harold Siler's. She felt the call to be a missionary. That was in the years of that era where young single women did not go to the mission field. She said, "Now I heard her. I'd heard David. What did I say? David Gibbs." Tell the story. And so I'd heard about her, and I came home from Cuba just a month ago. And I didn't schedule anything on that Sunday morning because my wife had surgery, and I know how she'd be. And I heard she's going to be at my old home church where my son leads the music there at New Manna. And I said, "I'm going to go." She was out for Sunday school. She had a good spirit about her. She gets up and she tells her story. She goes. And she ends up going to Tennessee Temple further training. She ends up in, not Papua New Guinea, but West Papua. And she worked, I don't know how many years, in this one place there, and had reached several of those people there. And there's a pilot that would fly in their supplies every 3 weeks. And he kept noticing this little civilization on the way. And he was telling them, he said, "Now, of course, they all knew that in that area was headhunters and cannibals." And he said, "They're living in trees. That whole tribe's living in trees. They lived in trees because of the fear of the other tribes coming and getting them." And so she decides she's going to go and try to reach them. You talk about me going to Cuba, that ain't nothing, amen. A white woman going down there, going that headhunter area, amen. You talk about, amen, that take faith. And she took her, I think it was two of her preacher boys, it's two of those men, those tribesmen. And the pilot actually told her, he said, "Now, I can't land there." He said, "They got logs cut, and it's in the way, and I can't land. Only way you get in there is with a helicopter." So she raised the money, because it's costly to get a helicopter. And they flew her over there and let her down. And two of those new preachers, amen, and let them down in there, in that tribe, and she's going to reach them for the gospel. Now, listen to this. What she didn't know. That tribe had taught for years among themselves that one day they'd be a white woman come from the clouds. And tell them how to go to the happy hunting ground. What else can you say? Amen. When God is speaking to you, and God puts His thumb on your heart, amen, He's got the reins in your heart, amen, He's speaking to you. He's already speaking on the other end, amen, and God's already dealing over there. I'm glad I said yes to Jesus years and years ago. I'm glad as a young man, 20 years old, I sat back there in the choir and got to singing and the Spirit of God moved, amen. And I responded to the gospel invitation. And a year later, God spoke to me about preaching. I'm glad I said yes, amen. Been preaching for 43 years and I'm glad when He spoke to me during the night to go to Bolivia, amen, and preach in those places, amen. God will bless you. That all the people may know. Let's all stand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Musicians are coming.